The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. It is, August 30th, 2021. We got one more day in this month. Man, this millennium's flying by. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M on your dial. So 877-207-CARM, C-A-R-M, and carm.org, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. Okay, so I have been doing a lot of research on COVID, on masks, because people are calling me and asking questions and emails and things like that. And so I've got a document that in Word is 14 pages, and I've got some tables, and I've got some stuff, and not ready to release yet, but I will be probably releasing a single page in the cut and paste section on CARM. It's full of some stuff I'm finding, and I just want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up on what I'm finding. N95 masks work against viruses. They do. N95 masks work. The cloth mask and the surgical masks that people wear, they're basically ineffective. They reduce certain issues, but they don't prevent, not like an N95. N95 is where you need to be if you really want to, have prevention and serious work. You know what else I found out? I'm going to read something which I think is interesting and necessary. I'm going to read a quote. This may take a little bit long. It might take a minute or so. This is from the CDC.gov. The CDC.gov site. I have the documentation. The shielding approach aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing severe disease and the general population. High-risk individuals would be temporarily relocated to safe or green zones established at the household, neighborhood, or camp sector, or a community level, depending on the context and setting. The shielding approach is an ambitious undertaking which may prove effective in preventing COVID-19 infection among high-risk populations if well managed. While the premise is based on mitigation strategies used in the United Kingdom, there is no empirical evidence whether this approach will increase or decrease or have no effect on morbidity or mortality during the COVID-19 pandemic. So what they're talking about is, this is what I find, I found a lot of research, I'm just doing so much, I'm finding that the CDC contradicts itself, and the WHO, various groups contradict themselves and each other. And when you go to the CDC and you expect to have some good information, what they're talking about here is actually putting people in camps. Household isolation, neighborhood isolation, or camps that they are getting moved to. Now you got to be careful, because when people are allowed to be moved to camps, then they become the ones in control of your lives, and they decide what's good for you and what's good for society. It's a totalitarianism. And yet, at the same time, from the very same article that I was reading on the CDC site, it says that this approach, there's no empirical evidence it works, but yet it's what they want to do. It's really interesting, and so I'm doing research on masks, and one of the things, it took me hours on Saturday. I work 6 days a week, and I'm doing research on the different different vaccines with documentation, okay, and all kind of from original sources, all this kind of stuff. And I was doing some Oh, here we go. Get over here to this. I was doing some research and on sizes of particles, just and then putting them into a table, making them easily understandable, and how big things are and how small things are. And the COVID vaccine is 0.5 to 0.14 microns. And a micron is very, very small. Microns like a thousandth of a millimeter. And so it's extremely small. And other things in that range of size are red blood cells, which are about 10 to 40 times bigger than a COVID thing. Bacteria is slightly smaller than COVID, and tobacco smoke is smaller than that. Pollen is 7 to 10 microns. Talcum powder is 10 microns, etc. A grain of table salt is 100 microns. And so the masks, the surgical masks and the cloth mask, if you have a cloth mask, it's pretty much useless as far as stopping COVID goes. But this is not much protection. The N99 removes 99% of all particles 0.3 microns in diameter. N95, that's the one that's a standard of comparison, removes 95% of all particles that are 0.3 microns. A surgical mask is just moderate protection. Does not provide much protection against small virus particles. That's what their sites say. Cloth masks are very low in their efficiency. Does not meet the N95 qualifications. Not much protection. Should be cleaned daily. And then there's procedures for using these things. Did you know that cloth masks, they're finding out the more you handle them without washing them, the dirtier they get, and the more harmful they actually become. And I also stumbled on something I hadn't even thought about before. It's called immunity deficiency. It turns out that you need to be exposed to various germs in order to have a healthy immune system. It's just a normal thing for people. And yes, we know that people die and people, you know, it's a good bell curve. Some never affected, some are easily affected. The great majority of people, you know, just survive stuff. This is just how it is in life. And I forgot my train of thought. I saw a word here as I was looking at on my notes. Some of the other issues with masks and things like that. But at any rate, so if you have the masks, immune deficiency. So what that is you don't get exposed to the germs, so your body actually stops fighting a lot of germs, and so it technically can become weaker. And if there's a new variant that comes out, you'll be more likely to be affected by it in a more profound way. It's called immunity deficiency due to all the procedures that are being taken care of. Now, this is a really kind of a tough thing to balance because, well, of course you want to, you know, not have people get sick, and I totally agree with that. But how far do you go, and where's the balance because it causes immune deficiency? And so I was reading, and this is on the BMJ.com site, it's a medical site, and in Belgium, they did experiments, they did analysis of people wearing masks, well, mouth masks, for 1 week. 16% skin problems, 7% sinusitis, had headaches, fatigue, increase in stress hormones with a negative impact on the immune resilience of their systems. They prevented the mirroring of facial expressions. Potential of leading to significant increase in social psychological stress. There were behavioral problems. They actually had a weakened immune system with an increase in anxiety and depression. This is what they found. So why are we being forced to wear masks? That's a question I have. If you can wear a mask, N95 is the way to go. If you can wear a mask. And then it has to be fitted properly, and you can only use it once. Otherwise, it's contaminated. And you got to get rid of them. Why is it CDC is saying wear masks when they're something like only, I think cloth masks are only 3% effective. The 3% effectiveness of a cloth mask, and yet everyone's being forced to wear them. Anyway, this is just some of the research that I've discovered, and I'm producing it in such a way that it's in an outline form. You can go down, you can see the areas, read the quotes. It's not super lengthy, each area, but you can read the basics, and there are quotes that go back to the original sources. And there you go. So I'm doing all kinds of research. And the reason is because people are asking, and they ask a lot. Just so you know, I'm not against vaccines. I think they're great. They are. They have helped save countless thousands and thousands, maybe millions of lives. I just have a problem with being forced to take one and having a passport, a vaccine passport, saying that if you don't have the proper papers, you can't travel or buy and sell. This kind of stuff becomes scary. This becomes oppressive. This becomes totalitarian, authoritarian, and it always means the loss of our rights. When the state gains more power, that's always how it is. And so there you go. And right now, this is being broadcast on Facebook, and it's being broadcast on YouTube. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, YouTube penalized me for mentioning the COVID stuff. So let's see if they do that here again. And when I do release this article, I'm going to spend some time on YouTube going through and quoting, showing people the actual quotes in the videos so they can see everything. And let's see if the censors in the private sector who are doing the government's job, because the government's not supposed to be able to censor, but the private sector can censor you if it's not politically correct information. Even if you quote the CDC, WHO, you quote official sites, the ArcGIS, you quote ourworlddata.org, you quote all of them, and you get in trouble because, no, you have to pull the party line. You have to go along with it. Folks, the reason I'm talking about this a little bit is because you've got to understand, dear Christians, you know, vaccines are very useful, very good, and it's up to you to decide if you want to do it or not. That's between you and God, no problem. But the issue becomes when a government starts mandating and telling you what you can do with your body in one sense, and the hypocrisy when they say, we want you to wear masks, and we'll open the borders and let people in without masks and have them spread in the country, and we'll transport them in the country, and that's okay. But you citizens, you've got to wear them. There's an inconsistency. There's a problem here. And it's authoritarian control. And we need to resist this kind of thing. Not because we don't like vaccines, no. But because we have to resist authoritarianism, and it's coming. And if you don't agree with me, then you're not paying attention to what's happening in our world. It's happening everywhere. In fact, in Australia, they just forced 24,000 children under 18 to have the vaccine, and at least 3 of them died on the spot. And you don't hear about that in the news too much, but that's happening. They're forcing it on people. What is going on? Where are our rights to be able to say, I'll do with my body as I want, right? Yeah, unless it's not politically correct. Well, I'm just telling you, people, this is what's going on. There's a break. May the Lord bless you. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. Jeremiah from Ohio, welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Matt, I appreciate that. How are you doing today, brother?
By God's grace, doing a lot better than I deserve, that's for sure.
That's great. I appreciate it, man. I love watching your videos on YouTube and things like that. You and I are both Trinitarians and strong Christians. I love preaching the gospel to people and bringing it out to them. I have a couple questions for you, if I may ask.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
quickly if I can. First off, would these COVID vaccines, I've been asked this while preaching, the COVID vaccine, are they the mark of the beast?
No. No. Vaccines are not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is an agreement with the Antichrist and subjugation to his system when he takes over. And that's not
in place. Is that spiritual or physical, Matt?
Well, I would say both, that it's a spiritual subjugation, but also a physical one. And the mark, and the forehead, or the right hand. There's some interesting debate about who he will be. I've written about him on Karm. He seems to be a homosexual. He might be Muslim, some say. I haven't studied that one, but that's an interesting theory. And he will probably suffer a severe head wound, but will be, so to speak, resurrected. There's something miraculous going to happen with him, and people are going to join to believe in him.
Right. And my second question was, besides the Nicene Creed, when I do preach the gospel and teach that Jesus Christ himself is God in the flesh, and that the Trinity and all this, people have told me that it's pagan, it's from the Nicene Creed, you can't trust it because the Catholic Church said it was this way. Okay. How do we know, besides from the Nicene Creed and the Bible, that the Trinity that you and I preach is true? How do we know that
When I debate oneness, I've had two debates recently, and I'm going to have a debate on oneness on the October 1st, plus Wednesday night.
Okay.
I'm going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern time in 2 days, Wednesday. It'll be the 1st on the October. September 1st. I'm going to be having an open dialogue with a bunch of oneness. So just letting you guys know.
Sure.
I'll put it on my calendar on Karn. But how do we know the Trinity is true? And this is what I've been saying to people, is the first thing you have to do is define your terms. And so what is the Trinity? Ask them what it is. What do you think the Trinity is? If they say three gods, you say, well, I agree with you. That's not biblical. I'm with you. I agree. That's not biblical. Three gods is not biblical. And I don't tell them that, because I thought what the Trinity is. I said, I agree with you. And they're confused. What do you mean? Yeah, I agree with you. That's not biblical. Well, you're a Trinitarian. Yes, I am. But what you said wasn't Trinitarian. Yours was a triad. And so you got to correct them politely. And one other thing, now this is an important point. The doctrine of the Trinity is not arrived at by a single verse. It's not refuted by a single verse. It's arrived at systematically. And I'll say this, and the oneness people who are going to debate me, this is what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to say, what is that system? And it's the system is either valid or invalid. You have to demonstrate that the system, the approach, is invalid in order for the Trinity not to stand. And the system is very, very simple.
I see.
It's monotheism, which is out of Isaiah 43, 44, and 45. The Father's called God,
absolutely,
the Son's called God, the Holy Spirit's called God. Each has a will, each loves, each speaks, they speak to each other. These are the exact attributes we would expect of personhood. And since they speak to each other, the designation is separate persons. That's it. That's what the Trinity is. That's how it's arrived at. They have to be able to say, no, all of those points aren't correct. But they are correct.
Right.
So that's the
thing. They are correct. Absolutely.
Yes, they are.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your time, sir. God bless you, brother.
Hey, God bless you. Keep listening. All right, man. God bless.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye. All right, let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Hey, Nelson, welcome. Isn't that where corn is from, Bakersfield?
Where? Bakersfield, California? Where's
Corn. Isn't Corn from there? The band?
Corn, the band? I'm not sure.
Okay, I just thought
so. I'm not positive. I'm not sure about that, but it could be.
Okay.
I thought it was from the East Coast.
But okay. Okay.
They
are from Bakersfield. How about that? Oh, they're from Bakersfield.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Wow,
anyway, go ahead.
Okay, my question is, because I know, as I called before, I have a friend that is a woman, and he misquoted me and misquoted you, because he thought I recorded you, when I recorded you on WhatsApp, you can see what you said. He thought that you said that oneness people that believe in the oneness doctrine, they will inherit the kingdom of God.
No,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I know that you didn't say that.
Right.
Because the fact that, because they believe in Jesus, that's their ticket to go to heaven.
Okay. So let me make this official. And so this is an official statement I'm going to make. This is August 30th, 2021, 4:26 p.m. Mountain Time. If you hold to oneness theology regarding the denial of the Trinity, and you hold to the oneness doctrine of the true denial of the incarnation of the Word permanently in flesh, and if you require baptism for salvation, and if you require it in, quote-unquote, in the name of Jesus, you cannot be a true Christian, and when you die, you'll go to hell, because they're believing in a false God, ultimately a false Christ, and ultimately from that, a false gospel. And they need to repent.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, I'll call back some other time, but real quick, I have a friend that she works in Walmart. She's actually just in Christ. She works in Walmart. Mm-hmm. And she was told that in October the 4th, they're required everyone to have the vaccination. If not, they will be suspended for 28 days, and then anything else, they will be terminated. So what would you suggest for her to do to stand in her rights of the First Amendment?
Let me see if I have it. I have some notes. I got to find those notes. Let me see if I can find them here. Let's see. I forgot where, because I'm still collecting everything, but it's illegal for them to require it. And and there's documentation. It's a federal law that you can't do that. Let's see. I'll keep looking for it. Fascism, Supreme Court. Okay, let's see if I've got this. Okay, that's on free speech. We have the constitutional right of free speech. And I got that. And you know what? Hold on during the break. Maybe I'll look for it during the break, okay? See if I can find it. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt.
Okay, hold on now. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we actually talk about theology, cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholicism, salvation, Bible verses. That's what we mainly talk about, but this has kind of come up recently. So if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Are you still there, Nelson?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, so let's see. I would do I found articles, and I've got one specifically buried someplace. So what I did was I just went and searched, and I found stuff right away. Can you be forced, the government or areas force you to take a vaccine? Just type in, can you be forced to take a vaccine? And you will see government
laws.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I'm sorry. This is in your website, correct?
No, not yet. I haven't released the information yet.
Oh, okay.
Just go to the web and type that in, because I still have a lot of information that's I've gathered from other places. So right now, employers enforce or force you, to take the COVID vaccine? All right, and there's some gray areas involved with it, and so So some federal law allows employers to mandate COVID vaccines, and some do not. It just, there's some gray area in here, and I have to work through them to say, here's how it works. But there are laws on the books that say, no, you can't. And if, and here's the thing, if an employer forces you to get a vaccine in order to work, and then you have an adverse effect, or you're adversely affected hospitalization because of that, then they're responsible.
They're liable.
They are liable, right. And so if they're being forced to take it to work, this is a difficulty. What do you do? I mean, I've already had COVID, and in fact, natural immunities are 13 times, minimum 13 times better than getting a vaccine. That's what the statistics show. I had it documented. Minimum 13 times better. Yet they want to force you to get a vaccine, which can actually hinder and reduce your overall effectiveness against COVID and its variants. And I'll be explaining that and going through. I've been learning a lot and learning how to understand it in such a way to put it all into easy, understandable stuff. Finding the right quotes takes a lot of time. And so this is one of the areas I'll be getting into, is the legality of all of this. This is what I do when I research. I do all kinds of stuff. So far, it'll be one long article of maybe 20 pages, so people can just print it up. But I may do it in sections, releasing it on CARM, and then have a downloadable Word document that everybody can just, there it is, just download it, and you can use it. So this is where I'm at right now. So there are some instances where they can require, and some they can't, but there's legal ramifications to it. So I have to balance that out, and I'll be working on it. Okay?
Okay, because she is... They gave her a couple of days until the day I mentioned, and so she has to show proof that the religious-wise, why she should not.
Here. Okay, I've got the information for that. Because, let me show you. If she wants, you can email me or call me, and I can send her the information. Because this is on. I'll get my table. I got a lot of information here. And this is on the vaccines. Okay. So, did they use abortive cells? Did they use aborted cells from abortions to develop the vaccine? The Moderna did not. Pfizer did not. And Johnson & Johnson did. So, Johnson & Johnson directly used abortive cells in order to produce their vaccine. Now, that to me, that is it's horrible. Now, get us in line. I'm going to show you something else. However, Moderna and Pfizer used abortive cells in some of their lab tests on their vaccines. So they didn't use it to develop it, but they used it to test the viability of it in various areas. So that's horrible. Furthermore, let's see, the Nuremberg Code. People need to read up on the Nuremberg Code. Nuremberg, Germany. Okay? And there are the rules that they came up with about not, about the issue of using, how do I say this? Medical research and stuff, because the Nazis did a lot of experimentation on the Jews. You know, no anesthesia, and they would do surgeries. They would inject them with various things, and so they came up in 1947. Not that this is, you know, spiritually authoritative, but there are at least 10 things that are there that were used by the different countries that they came up with to say, this is the standard we're going to use when it comes to this kind of thing. And when you read through it, you find out that our own country is violating some of the Nuremberg Code.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, the experiment should be so conducted so as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. No experiment should be conducted Oh, absolutely. No experiment should be conducted where there is an a priori, that is beforehand existing, reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur, except perhaps in those experiments where the experimental physician also serves as a subject. So in other words, you're not supposed to do anything if you think it might hurt them. The degree of risk to be taken should never exceed that determined by the humanitarian importance of the problem to be solved. Now, that's a tough one, because there are certain, it's called risk-benefit ratio. Where is it acceptable? Because if you vaccinate 100,000 people and 10 die because of the vaccination, but without it, 100 would die, then the risk is worth it, you see? And so this is a tough one. And this is why I have to do all kinds of research to say, well, what is the benefit? What is this? And are finding out that they're misclassifying the deaths. They've been doing the misclassification, because if the hospitals were to classify certain things as COVID deaths, they get more money. And I have to document that. I don't have that information yet, because I read it before. Now I'm doing my documentation. Anybody has that, send it to info@carm.org. If you have any documentation about stuff like this, and if you send me a video, say, you know, hey, this three-hour video will help you, that I just won't watch it. You have to say, this video, go to 1 hour, 23 minutes and start watching. It's on this topic. That's where I have to you know, because I just can't, you know. And
there's just so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, it says here, look at this. During the course of the experiment, the human subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end if he has reached a physical or mental state where continuing the experiment seems to him to be impossible. In other words, you can't harm the patient. And yet we have experimental drugs in these vaccines that are being forced on people. That's what the Nazis did. This is serious. Again, I'm not against vaccines. I'm against totalitarianism and how the left is using it as a means of control of the population. Because I know that if we submit to that control, then we will lose more and more of our rights. And with that, they will then begin to oppress the Christians, because the Christians are the ones who are going to say, no, our the Lord is not the government. The Lord is Jesus. And there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So this is where it ultimately goes to. I'm just giving people early heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt. I appreciate it. I'll make sure. I'll let her know. And I'll have her, hopefully, on her day off to call you so you can explain to her all this as well. And maybe she could give you her email so that you can send all this information directly to her inbox if that's possible.
Yeah, what I could do, if people really want me to, is if they want, I can release an early version of it and just keep modifying it, put the dates I've modified it up. If they want, if you want me to do that, just email me at info@carm.org. Say, yes, please early release the COVID information that I'm going to continue to work on and continue to expand. Okay? They do, enough people do.
I know that you got callers waiting. I just wanted to get this out real quick, because my suggestion was for her to get like a lawyer help, meaning in the sense that, because we have the First Amendment, and so they know what the L says. I'm probably just going to do a study of that and just get all your information. You can do it yourself.
That's right. I don't want anything that uses fetal material, human tissue, from victims of death, of being killed in order to benefit someone else. I don't want that. Okay? All right, buddy. Gotta go. There's a break.
Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, we got one open line, and we'll be back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, welcome to the show, everybody. Let's get to Agnes. Agnes from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Well, Agnes, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure. What do you got? Are you
okay? So I have a question. Last week, I didn't really quite understand. A caller called in and said that they had visited a church that was a non, I guess, I'm guessing it was like a non-Christ-centered church, or maybe like a not a Bible-believing church. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned to him that he shouldn't go back there, and that demons could attach themselves to, I don't know, to him or to a person that visits like a church.
I don't remember that, but
I don't know. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically, but the idea of going to a false church where they teach false things, like, for example, Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Roman Catholicism, if you go to a place that teaches a false gospel, a false Christ, a false God, or any combination of those things, or advocates praying to dead people other than, you know, than to God, these are occult practices and false doctrines. And ultimately, they can open up people to demonic oppression. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. So we've got to be very aware that everything that we're doing has a spiritual consequence. I mean, to be afraid all the time, I'm just, you know, greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. But the thing is that these kind of things can be doors for demonic oppression.
And can you give me like an example of what a demonic oppression would look like?
Sure.
Or would be like?
Yeah, sure. There are different forms of it that manifest in different kind of people. Irritability, the desire for things of darkness, like symbols of the occult, satanic symbols, desiring to work with Ouija boards, New Age movements, seances, meditation on objects. These are the kind of things that open doors, and the people who are exposed to them often become hostile to the things of the Lord Jesus. And this is one of the things to watch for, is hostility.
So what about like just like an overwhelming sort of fear that comes over you? Would that kind of be an example of a demonic oppression? Or
it could be. Okay. It could be that not enough sleep. It could be or it could not be. It just depends. It could be not enough sleep or bad food or you know, whatever. But sometimes, yeah, it can be. But we have to be careful and not look for a demon behind every tree. So I'm just saying some of the things that it can be, and then it takes work and practice and discernment to be able to say, well, is it really, you know, spiritual or not? A lot of times when people talk to me about things, one of the first things I do is say, well, did you get enough sleep? Are you eating right? Are you on any medications? Have you had an injury or sickness recently? I ask, you know, the things about natural causes first. And if the natural causes don't seem to be the reason for whatever they're experiencing, then we look at spiritual causes. I look for doors. Doors are like you have a neighbor who's a witch praying against you. Or you have somebody who's given you an instrument or an object that they have specifically prayed over to bring stuff into your house. People have actually done that. And sometimes people might inadvertently go to a museum, a place, a store, whatever it is, that are country, and buy objects that are made for the purpose of pagan worship. And they look pretty, so people buy them and bring them home. And so these are potentials for opening doors. Okay?
Can demons attach themselves to believers in Christ?
Well, we say attach. I'm not sure what it means to attach, but I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And can they focus on on certain individuals? Of course they can. And the more a Christian opens himself or herself up to bad things, the bigger the door opens up for oppression. But then sometimes you can be oppressed because you're moving towards God. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just becoming stronger in the Lord, and the demonic forces don't want this, and so they attack. And, you know, I remember once, I'll never forget this, but I had several experiences in my life of demonic things. And this one, I don't know if it was or wasn't, but I did a lot of research on Wicca. And I ordered some books on Wicca, which is a form of witchcraft and the occult. And I got the books, and it was a box full of books. I did a lot of research, and I prayed over them. and you know, to bind any demonic forces associated with them, because they're written by demonic, you know, inspired authors. It's false doctrine. And so that night, I had one of the worst nightmares I'd ever had in my entire life. And then 2 days later, I'm driving on the freeway, my right rear tire on my car explodes. And, you know, I had to change it on the freeway and stuff. And then 2 days after that, I was out in the river. I'm a very good swimmer. And I was on the Boise, Idaho, Boise River, and I got ejected from a raft and landed in the middle of the river on the only place where there are rocks, in the middle of the river, just underneath the surface. Broke a lot of stuff. Well, I limped for 2 months, and it took me weeks to recover. So I'm just saying, things happen when you try and broach demonic issues, and, like I do all the time. And so if you see me, you know, in real life, that's why I look the way I do, because you can tell I've been affected. But at any rate, so
okay. Well,
that's what I say to people. This is what happens if you start doing this. So,
yeah, well, that was, like, I think you answered it pretty well for me and stuff, and I was just kind of wanted more details on last week when a caller called in, mm-hmm. and I didn't really quite catch everything, but this really helped. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. All right. Well, God bless, Agnes. Okay.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, let's get to Michael from Utah. Hi, Michael, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Matt. I was just going to ask you, my employer is a government contractor, and they got an email today that says we have to be either fully vaccinated or bring in a negative COVID test twice a week to continue working. To get on the base.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a class action lawsuit against various groups that do this. That's my opinion. They're forcing you to take an experimental medicine in order to work. And one of the things I would entertain doing is contacting a lawyer. I wish some lawyer listening who knows about stuff would help out and you know, and say that if I take the vaccine at your demand in order for me to work, which was not required when I signed up here to work, that if I do take it, there's any side effects, you pay all the medical bills. Because they're the ones forcing. I think this needs to be something that is, you know, you have to do. I'm in a better state than most in the sense that I just, you know, I'm living on the internet. I don't have to be vaccinated. But if I were in that position, I think I'd call a lawyer. Me, that's just me, and say, what can I do? You know, or I'd say, I'm going to find another job, or whatever. Here in Idaho, nurses are saying no, and doctors are saying, a lot of them saying, no, we're not going to get vaccinated. They don't trust it. And there's so much information out there. And yet, why are corporations forcing employers to do this? Now, here's the thing. I used to work at a hospital, an emergency room registering people, and also as a transport guy. And they required that I get a tetanus shot, or I think it was tetanus, and something else in order to work there. Well, I agreed. Okay, no problem. Because that was to work there because of exposure to a lot of germs. I said, that's fine. And that was in order to work there. That's fine. And so I did, but you know, if they just said you have to get a shot, you know, a flu shot here, and this has been tried and tested, I'd go, okay, no problem. But the idea of taking something that's experimental, that has deleterious effects, that makes me nervous, and I don't be forced to that. So, you know,
even though it's supposedly one of them's been approved by the FDA, but it's never gone through the normal processes, from what I've heard.
Right, and I would be researching that and the procedures for arriving at it and emergency declarations. So one of the vaccines has been approved, but the approval was rushed through, and there's some violations of how it's supposed to have been done. And incidentally, it was a TB test that I had to take for tuberculosis. And I was exposed to spinal meningitis also. While I was there working in the hospital, I had to translate from English to Spanish for some patients. But one of them had spinal, you know, you get exposed to stuff. I'll take stuff that's going to stop me from getting infected. I have no problem with that. I just want to take something experimental. If the doctor goes, you want me to take this? Now, there's been some problems reported, and people have died from it, and people have had heart problems from it. You want to take this? No. You know, we can't work here. Okay, see you. Bye. You know.
So. Is that something you can type up and put in your file, or is that something the attorney has to draft?
No, I don't have that. Here's the thing, is that I need to talk to lawyers about this. And I put in the idea of 10 hours of research for one page of writing is about how it works. I have to read and read, because a lot of stuff I can understand, but I can't break it down very easily. It's a lot of work sometimes. Sometimes the quotes are huge, and if you don't read the context beyond it, you can't make sense of it. I have to be able to provide stuff for people that's, you know, what I call quick and slick. They have to be able to see it. It has to be accurate. The documentation has got to be provided. It has to be balanced and organized. And this is a very difficult thing to do, but I'm working on it. And so I'm trying. I just want people to be informed. This is what I do with the website, and, you know, on theological issues and secular issues and things like that. So, there's blood clots.
Okay. Well, appreciate your time, Matt. God bless you.
God bless, man. Okay. All right. Let's get to Gerald from North Carolina. Gerald, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I've been in Bible study and read about this a couple of times in Revelation 14 and 15. It talks about those that are washed by the blood and able to get into the New Jerusalem, access to the Tree of Life. Mm-hmm. But then it says in 15, dogs and sorcerers and the immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying are kept without.
Right.
Now, I was always under the impression that those were the ones that were committed to the lake of fire, and the new heavens and new earth would be without sinners.
Well, all of it's true. The new heavens and new earth will be without sinners, and those who are rejected will end up in the lake of fire, as cast out into outer darkness. Yeah, they aren't mutually exclusive. Those are the things that will happen to the unbelievers.
Well, I kind of wondered if this was something to do with the degrees of punishment, you know, where maybe these are the people that came out of the tribulation and survived, because on my count, the book of Revelation kills off three-fourths of the population.
We're out of time. I'm sorry.
I'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about this. Okay. And sorry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Boy, that was a fast hour. Sorry about that. Matt from Charlotte on Hermaphrodites. Call back tomorrow. And government payouts for COVID, Martin, call back tomorrow. Email me about it. info@carm.org. Talk to you guys later. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.